And what is it that we should do? The disciples of John the Baptist ask him. I remember an epic Monopoly game I played over 30 years ago, back when my brother and I were playing my niece and my nephew. The game proceeded as normal, as you would, and we all got little houses and hotels and different streets. And then my nephew run into a real string of bad luck, as often happens, and he landed on hotel after hotel after hotel, and then he was just at the point of bankruptcy, and he just landed on, I think, my brother's or mine hotel. And then my niece goes, no, here, I'll pay. My brother goes, no, you can't do that. That's not the game. She says, that's our rules. My brother and I look at each other, what? So we kind of let it go. And anyway, so this continues. Every time he landed on something, I gave the money. He's like, for heaven's sakes, this is going to take for ages. We'll never win. He says, oh, no, there'll be a winner. Well, how can you possibly lose? Well, there's no losers, but there is a winner. What? Anyway, so the game went on, and then I landed. I had a string of bad luck, and I landed on all the hotels, and I lost everything. And then she goes, oh, yeah, here you go, Uncle Brennan. So I said, no, you can have that. Is it a loan? No, you can have it. That's fine. And we continued to play on and on. Anyway, the game went on, as you can see. So eventually, you know, it was just, she had all the hotels ever. We were just landing and placing, and then she'd hand us the money. We'd hand it back to her. And we're going like, but nobody's going to win. Oh, no, I think we can tell who's winning. But there was no losers. No losers. I always thought about that. It's quite a biblical version of the game, really, when you think of it, right? No losers, but there is a winner, right? Because clearly the person who's got the most hotels, most things, actually does really win. But it was the funnest game I ever had. And I played, because they laughed the entire time. I laughed. I'm not sure I laughed at the fact that I was outraged, or my brother was outraged, or whether I was just having so much fun. But at the time, I was like, no, you can't do it. Like, we were all proper. No, that's not the way the game plays. But that's our rules. Oh, okay. But imagine if, I know life is not a game. But imagine if we played the rules different than the way we do play them today. What if we played by those rules? What if people, when they ran them, well, we just gave them money? What if when we did, we just helped them? That there was no losers. Now, there could be winners, of course. Because, you know, life is, while it's not a game, we certainly know that a whole ton of what life happens has less to do with our strategy and less to do with our skills. And sometimes maybe it's not luck, but it's just the way life seems to fall, that we get a rough break, we lose a job, things happen to go wrong. And, you know, it's not a lot different. The difference between the person who ends up homeless and broken, or a person who's broken by alcoholism, and our lives is oftentimes marginal things that happen along the way. The reason why I bring this up is today's vision of the gospel that John the Baptist brings is a completely vision that is radical, and it's what Christians have tried to embrace for years, and I don't think always so successfully. If you have two cloaks and somebody has none, then you give your cloak. There is no more than that. If you have food and they don't have food, then you give them the food. It was a straightforward sort of measuring stick. It says, share what you have. Why? Because you have it. So share it. And what Paul's letter to the Philippians says, that if you do, if you live with Christ in this way, then your joy will be complete and you will be able to rejoice always. And he says, rejoice. Rejoice always. Hear me. Rejoice. Well, what is it that he's asking us to rejoice? Well, if you look at it, you see, on a bigger picture, what Paul is saying, and indeed John is eventually getting to, is that's the way the Lord looks on life. That nothing can separate us from God. The sickness, nor nor lack of job or our mistakes. Nothing, not even death separates us from God. So if we, I mean, like my niece in the game, if we realize that the reason why I was so joyful is I couldn't lose. Right? It didn't make any difference. I was never going to lose. I mean, I win the game, but I was not going to lose. And so that's, if we can have that mindset about life, that no matter what happens, I'm never going to lose. I never lose the love of God. God's love is always, always, always there. Even beyond death. Death won't even take it away. Now, if we really internalize that message, then we would be rejoicing. Then we would be full of joy. And the way to that point is to realize that once we realize that, then our life needs to be one of joy. Pope Francis, in his first encyclical, said that the true mark of a Christian who's living a life of Christianity, a discipleship, is joy. That if we are joy-filled, then we've got the message. We understand the message. We really get it. Because no matter what we do, we will always have God's love. Always, always, always. Now, I understand the whole world. But let's not talk about the whole world. Let's just talk about us. What if every one of us decided to do exactly what the gospel asks us to do, is to share in that radical way? What if all of us decided to really rejoice and be joyful between now and Christmas? Now, I know a lot happens between now and Christmas. A lot of things are going to go wrong. But what if we said it won't matter if things go wrong? That we're going to live the joy of the gospel and we're going to rejoice no matter what. I know we can't change the whole world, but we can change us here. And I think we'd be better off selling. We'd be truly be able to celebrate Christmas in a different way if we did that. But it requires a choice of us. That when things start to go wrong, we catch ourselves. Okay, that's fine. Rejoice. Okay. Right. And we catch ourselves. It's not that things won't go wrong. They will go wrong. But our attitude when they go wrong has changed. That's what makes the difference. Things are not going to change outside. The world is not going to suddenly revolve a different way. Suddenly everything's not going to go wonderful and we're never going to get sick. And no, all that's going to continue to happen. The only way that we can change is inside of us. Is that we change and we say, you know what, it's true. That Christ loves me no matter what. That God's love dwells within me. And no matter what, God, nothing can take that away. No mistake, no bad thing that happens to me, nothing. Not even death will take that away from me. So if we really believe that message, by God, we should rejoice. We should be full of joy every day. So let's do it for these next 12 days before Christmas, 10 days before Christmas. Let's live these last 10 days joyfully so when Christmas comes, we are bouncing around with joy, regardless of what's happened. That's our choice. So what do we answer to the question is, what should we do? Rejoice and be joyful that the Lord is here. He loves us and nothing will ever take that away. Oh, that is a different game. And that's the game we promised to play.